And now it's time for your financial destination with Roger Hamilton, with strategies to enhance or improve your retirement income.
Hello, I'm Roger Hamilton, and welcome to the Financial Destination Show. So over the next 15 minutes, we'll discuss strategies to help you improve or enhance your present or future retirement income. Today's topic, the 70s, both the decade and the age. The 1970s, some of the best music ever. So let's flash back to the early 70s, and especially for those listeners who might have been in their early 20s back then, 50 years ago. Listening to the debut of a new band called April Wine, or America, or Looking Glass, and their one hit from the summer of 1972, Brandy. Or maybe back in 1971, watching favorite family TV shows on your floor model, black and white, RCA TV. And then being part of the modern color TV wave. In 1971, catching new shows like Columbo, All in the Family, and MASH. And how cool was it to finally watch the opening of The Wonderful World of Disney Sunday night in color. Prior to 1971, all Major League Baseball playoff games were played in the afternoon. There were no night games, which was fine for the weekends, but throughout the week, you had to race home from work or school to catch the last few innings. 1971, Baltimore and Pittsburgh played their first ever baseball playoff game under the lights. 50 years ago, the early 70s. For those who were in their 20s back then, the 70s decade was key to setting up their financial years to follow. So too can be your age in the 70s now. Age, a key in your retirement income. Age 70 and 71, the two biggest important numbers in all retirement planning. Now on earlier shows we mentioned you can defer both your OAS and CPP to age 70. The biggest reason why? Well, each year you wait, after age 65, the guaranteed income increases. So maybe you're still working in your late 60s or have other incomes, such as rental properties or pensions. Your health is great. Making it to age 80 seems like a pretty sure bet, as it is for most of us. So you can defer either or both pensions, and it pays you more later. But by age 70, that option to wait or increase no longer exists. That's it. Age 70. That's the last train to Clarksville. It's all aboard. The month after your 70th birthday, OAS and CPP, the monthly pension payments, will begin. Now, age 71, even a bigger deal. That's the big one, 71. Your RSP that you've been paying in since the 70s, your company pension, your LIRA, all of them. If you haven't done so already, the January after your 71st birthday, your RSP and LIRA, that tax-deferred pension that you have nurtured and paid into, hopefully get some tax refunds for most years, and no taxes taken out yet. Now you must withdraw a portion of that every year. And that amount is taxable income. Not the growth, just the income. After age 71, there are no more tax-deferred programs available for you. But there could be if your spouse or partner is 71 or younger. That person, their age, is key. So let's dig into RSPs and spousal RSPs. Then we'll touch on how to lower taxes, including capital gains on rental properties, as you approach that age 70 speed limit. Coming up right after this.
Knowing which investments that outperform and that are suitable to your goals and needs can be overwhelming. Understanding the advantages of growth segregated funds and or market linked indexes might have over balanced mutual funds could benefit your investments now and for estate planning later on. Diversifying part of your portfolio in private equity funds could have a significant impact on your retirement income. On your Financial Destination Show, we'll discuss these strategies and more to enhance your retirement income.
And we're back, the 70s. Now, let's take this first example. Let's take a married couple. We'll say the husband is older. We'll make him 73 or more, anything over 71. Still working. Maybe he has the higher income of the two. Doesn't really matter. But what does matter is if the other spouse is still under or 71 or under. Most likely, he has RSP room, but definitely not the age to contribute to his own RSP. So he uses his wife's age. It allows him to contribute to a spousal RSP, still lowering his taxable income for each year he's working. He has the room, she has the age, until she turns 71. He gets the tax credit, she gets the money. When she turns 71, if not before, the spousal RSP turns into a RIF, and she'll be taxed on the income on the spousal. But assuming, not only was she younger, but maybe in a lower tax margin than he is, or that he's going to be in. So it's a way to lower the family or household taxes and retain more of your own money. We live and work a bit longer than those back in the 60s and 70s, either by choice or by necessity. So when he finally retires, his income probably drops. So does his tax margin, lowering his taxes on his own RIF income. And by the way, for everyone, your RSP automatically turns into a Registered Retirement Income Fund, a RIF, the January after your 71st birthday. You don't have to file. Your investment company, your bank, your financial advisor, they know your age and your SIN number. It's done automatically. However, a few months prior to that, you'll discuss how much you want to withdraw, whether the minimum or more, and when you want to take it, monthly, quarterly, or once a year. But regardless, it's time to withdraw after age 71. Now, by using the younger spouse's age, you can wait until she turns 71 before you have to withdraw. Now, if there's a 10-year difference, let's say you're 75 and she's 65, you can wait 6 more years before any withdrawals have to happen when you're 81 and she's just a young 71. And maybe you place your investments in quality growth SEG funds. Your money is life insured, so if something happens to you before or after age 81, despite the market downturns, your principal amount is protected. But most importantly, you're looking for good returns, equal to or close to the amount that you're taking out. And if you do that, well, the longer your money will last. Meanwhile, the younger spouse, you might have her own RSP room. She can contribute to her own RSP. Her room is not affected by his spousal contribution. The RSP's purpose, for one, for both, for all of us, is to lower income tax now, defer it till later, while enhancing future retirement income. Now, the same principle works in selling of a rental property. So let's take another couple who own a rental property, and this time let's make her 72 and he's 68. But the key number is 71, under or over. So the rental property income this couple had for the past 2 or 3 decades. Now it's time to sell for 2 key reasons. One, the rental was part of their retirement plan when they were 40. Now here you are, 70. It's time. Plus, the housing market surge has given you a perfect timing. Someone's offering you $100,000 more than you could have gotten 15 months ago. Don Corleone special, The Godfather, an offer you can't refuse. Sold. Where do I sign? Bring cash. Done tomorrow. However, there will be capital gains. You paid $200,000 30 years ago, and now you sold it for $400,000, a $200,000 gain. And half of that, capital gains. So $100,000 could be taxed at your tax rate, split if it's in both names. And maybe the rental was placed in the lower income earner to save taxes both during and after the sale. Whatever, and whatever the amount, contact your accountant. They'll give you a pretty good idea of what the capital gains payable will be. Let's say the government capital gains tax is going to be, the bill is going to be $25,000 from this $400,000 sale. There's no mortgage, it's all clear money, but you still don't feel like forking over $25,000. It took a lot of years and sweat and work. It wasn't easy. And no, I don't want to pay $25,000 or any amount if I don't have to. So again, if at least one of you is under 71 and one or both have the RSP room, and most people have plenty, and the capital gains bill is $25,000, well, at a 35% tax bracket, it would take about $70,000 placed in an RSP or spousal to offset that capital gains. Again, verify that, your own tax situation with your accountant. But the couple gets to keep their money. Don't have to pay you $25,000. Now you have $400,000 working for you, have it to work. $70,000 goes into an RSP, good growth funds. You defer your tax. Now eventually you will pay tax when you take it out, gradually, over the next 15, 20 years. You don't pay tax on the growth and the RIF, just the income. And if the returns the next decade are close to the last decade, invested in good growth funds, your retirement income lasts longer, or you have more of it. So you had $400,000, $70,000 into an RSP to offset capital gains, tax-deferred growth. The remainder, $330,000, can be invested and has no age limit. By this January, a couple could invest over $160,000 in tax-free, at least $80,000 each, if you have the room. Tax-free investments, not savings. If you currently have some small amounts in tax-free savings at a bank doing 0.0, you can cash that out before the end of the year. You keep the money, there's no tax. But it's just tying up valuable space. So place $80,000 each in good growth funds, and all the growth it makes, and eventually all the income you take out, is tax-free. So you had 400, 70 RSP, 330 left over, split that, 160, split in two, tax-free, leaves $170,000. Split that in two, $85,000 tax-efficient investment accounts. So one or both of you start withdrawing from your $80,000 tax-free whenever you want. So from your tax-free, $1,000 a month, $12,000 a year, whatever, this income is tax-free. Then every new year, you replenish your tax-free account by transferring $12,000 from the $85,000 tax-efficient account. Plus, you add a new $600 or $6,500 every year in your tax-free. Thus, every year, you're building up or maintaining your tax-free retirement, growth in income, while reducing your taxes. So now you've kept all or most of your $400,000, enhanced your retirement income by either deferring or reducing or paying no tax at all. Now, both of you are over 71, it's not all bad. You don't have the RSP contribution option to offset the capital gains, so you pay it. And you skip the RSP option and go directly to tax-free and tax-efficient growth. If it's your main residence, well, there's no capital gains anyway, so you simply move and you go directly to tax-free and keep replenishing that tax-free income from your investment account. Tax-deferred RSP growth, tax-efficient investments, and tax-free income, all three. Can be Fidelity, growth seg funds, a touch of private equity income funds, whatever works for you, all depending on your suitability, timeline, etc. So take the time to sit with your advisor and your accountant, get on the same page with everyone. Basically, how much tax will I owe, and how much do I have to place to offset that, and then where for the best growth and lowering and deferring or eliminating my taxes? And so along with wanting to sell rental property due to age and attractive markets now could be a third reason, and what I'll call a possible possibility. Someday, could be soon, could be later, that 50% capital gains could increase to 75%. Costing you more in taxes when you sell your rental property to help pay back, I guess, the COVID debt. An increase in capital gains. Now, that's not a fact. It's no indication it's going to happen yet, but it's a very possible possibility. Government debts have to be paid. And a place they might look first is to recapture some of these sudden, impactful real estate profits. Figuring if you own more than one home, well, you must have money, and you made some along the way, and you might be asked to share more of that profit with the government. Don't know? We'll see. We'll be back in a moment to share our final thoughts.
Does it seem that after several years, you're just getting older and your investments are not doing any better? What should you be doing? Are there simple strategies to improve your retirement income that you weren't advised on, you missed out on, and wish to change? Stay tuned. Roger will cover these topics. At any time, email your questions to Roger at yourfinancialdestination.ca or call 902-499-5879.
And we're back. So the last 50 years might seem like they went by rather quickly. They always do. Maybe back then you didn't know enough or didn't do enough, for you had 50 years to catch up. Now it's time. The next 10 to 20 years, they are key. And the less years you have, the more valuable they become, just like land itself. After all those years of working and building, now it's time to find the right solutions to sustaining, enhancing, and improving your retirement income. We thank you for listening this morning. We trust you learned something you can use to better enhance your own financial situation. This show will be on my website in a few weeks. Visit yourfinancialdestination.ca. Located at 1702 Sackville Drive, you can call 902-499-5879. That's 902-499-5879. This is Roger Hamilton. Until next time, stay safe and stay invested.